So this morning we're continuing our summer series, looking at these some plus ones. These are all verses which follow a more well-known verse, hence why the title of plus one. But maybe the most important thing in the series title is probably the words making God's word count. That's what we want to do. Our focus this morning is on John 10, verse 10. And I've entitled this, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And to grasp the significance of this verse, we need to understand the context. If you've got your Bible open in front of you, that would be helpful. You see, John 9 begins with Jesus walking past a man who's been blind his entire life. And as they pass, the disciples ask Jesus, whose sin this man is suffering for, his or his parents? They assume, like others, someone must be to blame for his suffering. That's quite a world view now, is it not? Someone's always to be blamed. But Jesus flips this idea on its head. He says it's not about anyone's sin. Rather, the man's situation is an opportunity for God's work to be seen. And it is a powerful reminder that pain, not all pain, is punishment. Sometimes, you know, hardships isn't the result of poor choices. It just happens. Yes, I appreciate it's true that our decisions do shape our lives. We reap what we sow. But it's also true that life can appear to be unfair. You know, we can all face tough situations. And then Jesus says later on in chapter 9, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 5, Jesus has come to bring light to the eyes. He then heals the man. And the reaction of Jesus is a complete contrast to those of the religious leaders. You know, whilst Jesus was kind and compassionate to this once blind man, these religious leaders had shown themselves to be unhelpful and cruel. You know, this is a pretty tense situation. These religious leaders, they claim to know Scripture, yet they don't recognize Jesus is the light of the world. They're in darkness. And because they remain in darkness, they remain in their sins. The people who recognize that they need the light of Jesus, well, they will stand forgiven. That's, I guess, the message of John chapter 9. Jesus describes himself as the light of the world. And then as we move into John 10, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. So although the subject changes, it's important to recognize the audience does not. It's the same people. It's the same religious leaders. It's the same scholars, the same everyday people. So in verses 1 through to 9 of John 10, Jesus begins with an illustration. He's describing his role. And verse 1 is a statement of truth. Just let me share that verse with you again. Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. You know, this is true not only of sheep pens, but also of anything else. You know, if you drive down past a house and you see someone entering through the window, then in all likelihood, you know it's probably not the owner of the house. It could well be a thief. Of course, unless you were passing my house. If you passed my house and you saw me entering through the window, if you were with us last Sunday night, you'll have known I'll have forgotten my key. Now, these religious leaders were often called shepherds in the ancient world. Jesus explains that not everyone among the sheep is a true shepherd. Sadly, some are thieves and robbers. Let's call them false shepherds. So these false shepherds. They gain entry through alternative ways. And these false shepherds are often greedy, selfish, and manipulative. I think Isaiah 56, verse 11, describes these false shepherds perfectly. Describes them as like dogs. Let me read it to you. The dogs have a mighty appetite. They never have enough, but they are shepherds who have no understanding. They've all turned their own way, each to his own gain, one and all. So these religious leaders, supposed religious leaders, gained their place among God's people. You know, a true shepherd comes in the right way through love, calling, and care. Now, God's intention was always for his people to be led and fed. But the problem is, not everyone that leads is a true shepherd. Some have entered wrongly. Therefore, the door is there for a reason. The barriers are also there for a reason. But sadly, some will climb over them. So, how do we distinguish the false shepherds from the true shepherd? I think we find the answer within verse 3. Let me share it with you. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. You know, shepherds have personal connections with their sheep. The sheep know the voice of their own shepherd. Even amongst other sheep, it's pretty amazing if you've ever seen it. If you mix the sheep up in a sheep pen and a shepherd comes and calls his sheep, only those sheep come out. They know the voice of their shepherd. They're kind of like experts at discerning their voice. Amazing, really. Now, folks, we don't live in a world of shepherding anymore. But what Jesus is saying here in verse 3 has some relevance to us. Jesus is the shepherd gathering his sheep by calling them. Look what happens in verse 4. They know his voice and follow him. We can know we're his sheep if we hear his voice and follow. That's what the blind man did back in John 9. He heard the voice of Jesus. He heard him, followed what Jesus said to do, and was healed. Now, the religious leaders, they don't listen to Jesus, and therefore they don't follow him. Folks, I probably can't labor this point enough, but when we listen to the wrong voice, the outcome can be catastrophic. Now, forgive me if my dates are slightly muddled, but I'm sure it was sometime last week the Titan disaster report was published. You may recall that incident back on the 18th of June, 2023. The Titan submersible went missing. Well, it imploded, as we later found out. Sadly, all five on board were killed, including the owner of the company, Stockton Rush. Now, Rush was an innovator, that was for sure. He was a very passionate and purposeful man. Yet he was clearly self-driven, selfish, and pretty misguided, because it was his way or no way. That seemed to be what many who worked with him suggested. And actually, the report itself suggested there was a toxic workplace culture. If you disagreed with Stockton, then you found yourself out of work. And one such person that happened to was a chap called David Lockbridge. He was effectively the whistleblower. He experienced this. He had huge concerns over the safety. He was actually one of these pilots of submersibles, and he refused to go in it. Sadly, his claims were proved right. The submersible wasn't fit for purpose. And David wasn't alone. Others felt the same, yet Stockton just wouldn't listen. He was determined to be the first to reach the wreckage of the Titanic. And worse still, he wanted to take others down there with him, which he sadly did. Stockton Rush's negligence contributed to the deaths of those on board. This tragic accident could have been avoided. People were sold a lie. You know, those who entered that submersible that day, they weren't told of the risks. They unwittingly got into the submersible that was never fit for purpose. They listened to the wrong voice. Sadly, they paid the ultimate price. So let me ask you, who are you listening to? Do you know the voice of Jesus? Because Jesus paints a vivid picture here. His sheep do not follow strangers. They stick close to the one that they trust. They don't follow anyone. They run from all pretenders. Why? Because they know the difference. They've learned to trust the voice that brings life. And here's the striking part. Jesus isn't talking to outsiders. He's speaking to the religious leaders. They think that they belong. You know, folks, it is possible to think that you belong to God and not actually belong at all. It's possible to be near the flock, but to be far away from the shepherd. Do you read his words? Do you obey what he says? Do you follow him? And there is great value and reward in following Jesus. Listen to verse 3 again. He calls his own sheep by name. He knows your name. He knows who you are. Jesus knows who are his sheep. And he calls them by name. Do we really need any more than this? Jesus knows you and is calling you by name to follow him. He knows you. And I don't know about you, but I find that pretty exciting. Jesus knows me by my name. But verse 6 tells us something shattering. Not everyone understands this. Because the religious leaders, they certainly didn't. They were blind to it. These leaders thought that they saw clearly, yet they missed the point entirely. So in verse 7, Jesus tries again. He declares he is the door of the sheep, because Jesus assumes the role of protector. He's the guardian that provides protection. The sheep on the outside of the sheep pen are not protected, only his sheep are. Notice what Jesus says there in verse 8. Let me share that verse with you. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. You know, what a statement. If you're one of the religious leaders there at that time, pompous and proud, and Jesus has just called you a thief and a robber. What a charge against these leaders. These religious leaders that came before Jesus were selfish and self-centered. They didn't care for the souls of the people. And they, in fact, they even hurt the sheep and scattered the flock. But folks, it should also be stated that the prophets, those that came before Jesus, are not the thieves and robbers. These prophets did not offer another way of salvation. Instead, they pointed forward to the one who should and would bring salvation. So to be clear, these religious leaders are the thieves and the robbers. They're the ones trying to mislead the sheep away from God. They are false shepherds. They are not the good shepherd. So as we come to verse 10, who are you listening to? Are you listening to the false shepherds, or are you listening to the good shepherd? Let's just consider the false shepherds first, those described as thieves. Just a couple of points, and they are quite brief. Look there at the first part of verse 10. the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Well, the Greek word for thief used in this verse means one who steals. Figuratively, the same word is used to refer to false shepherds and teachers. Anyone who claimed a way of salvation other than Jesus was robbing people. You know, just as a thief climbs over the wall of a sheep pen, bypassing the gate, false teachers posing as shepherds attempt to bypass Jesus. And these false teachers, they steal people's ability to see the true means of salvation. You know, these thieves, they come and steal. They kill and destroy. They cause complete carnage. And everything they do is for their own selfish gain. They're totally self-centered. The thief symbolizes anything that seeks to take away our joy, hope, and peace. The thief could be some of our personal struggles, or maybe the negative influences in our lives. The thief can masquerade as challenges that we face every day. Anything that takes us away from Jesus is robbing us. They're like thieves. They claim to offer salvation, but their intentions aren't good. They teach for shameful gain. They're in it for their own greed. Folks, evil doesn't just merely seek to disrupt. Seeks to destroy everything. Now, dealing with these false shepherds, these false teachers, is serious. Paul told the Galatians in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, if anyone preaches a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be cursed. There is only one gospel. That's the message of Jesus' death and resurrection. Any other so-called gospel is to be rejected. Don't be persuaded otherwise. Let's also be clear. We're not free of false teachers today. Peter wrote the following in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3. Let me share those verses with you. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. You know, the intentions of these false shepherds are never for the good of the sheep. Now, why you would want to follow one of these false shepherds is beyond me. You know, instead, we should follow Jesus. Jesus, the good shepherd. Look at the second point this morning. Look at the last part of verse 10 and then 11. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, in contrast, Jesus seeks not just to preserve life for the sheep, but to provide it. In verse 9, Jesus claimed to be the door. He is the one and only door. Only those who enter through him will be saved. He also claimed that his purpose is not only tied to life, but to an abundant life. And this abundance goes beyond mere existence. It refers to a life filled with purpose. A life with Jesus is a life filled with purpose, pleasure, joy, and satisfaction. You know, when we think about abundance, we often envision, you know, riches, our material wealth. This abundant life is more meaningful than any material wealth and prosperity. It begins with salvation from an eternity of suffering the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ. If you're a note taker, get ready to scribble hard because there's some four verses coming up. An abundant life is primarily eternal life. John 17, verse 3. An abundant life means gaining a heavenly perspective. Romans 12, verse 2. It leads us to a growing trust and knowledge of God. 2 Peter 3:18. It means blossoming into a full or a life full of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. If you need those, ask me afterwards. You know, while false teachers and false religions offer shallow, temporary relief, it's only Jesus that brings truly everlasting life and spiritual abundance. Not only that, Jesus, the good shepherd, offers protection for his sheep. God's sheep are protected from the thief by the good shepherd, Jesus. That's why Jesus says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus announces he is the good shepherd. He is a very remarkable shepherd. Don't get me wrong, shepherds may take many risks for the safety of the sheep. But I'm pretty sure it's difficult to find one willing to die for their sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, is that one such shepherd. He gives his life for his sheep. He's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus is always giving for us. Spurgeon said the following on this: it is for us he lives, and because he lives, we live also. He lives to plead for us. He lives to represent us in heaven. He lives to rule providentially for us. Jesus offers us life. He offers us an abundant life. This life is not the full life. Folks, chasing after what the world offers won't satisfy you. It never will. It might promise you health and happiness, but it never delivers lasting peace. Jesus came to give you something far better. Real life. Full life. Abundant life. And let's get something else straight. The life Jesus gives isn't narrow or boring. It's not about rules and restrictions. That's a lie that people who don't know him believe. If you think following Jesus is just about giving things up, you've missed it. If that's what you really think, then believe me, you've been fed the wrong story. You're not hearing the voice of the good shepherd who calls his sheep by his name, by your name. Because when you truly follow Jesus, you find freedom. You find purpose. You find an incredible joy that doesn't depend on your circumstances. This is the life you were made for. This is the life Jesus came to give. Jesus is calling his sheep to give them life, and Jesus gives life to the full. And the sheep follow him because they know he's the good shepherd. They know Jesus. And so they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from a stranger's voice. Because these strangers will seek to steal, kill, and destroy. Life is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. So as we draw to a close this morning, what can we take away with this? Well, I'm hoping we've all seen a contrast that Paul makes between the false shepherds and the good shepherd. The false shepherds, well, they steal, they kill, and they destroy. Whereas the good shepherd protects, provides, and preserves. Only those who come through the good shepherd can be saved. You know, false teachers, they offer hollow promises driven by greed and deception. Jesus offers abundant life, secured in truth, grace, and by his sacrifice. So the question remains, whose voice are you listening to? Are you being led by the noises of this evil world? Are you being led by the lure of comfort and false promises? Or are you listening out for the voice of the Good Shepherd? Because the Good Shepherd is the one who will call you, the one who knows you by your name. Folks, Jesus doesn't force you to follow. He calls you by your name. He doesn't demand your perfection. He offers his presence. He doesn't lead you into confusion. He leads you into life. So today, let's choose to follow the one who laid down his life for us. Let's reject the thieves and the robbers, the false teachers and shepherds. Let's walk behind the Good Shepherd, step by step and day by day. Because in him, and only in him, we find life, abundant, eternal, and secure. Let's be those sheep. Let's follow the Good Shepherd. Let's trust in him alone.